The thriller Deepwater is about an unhappily married couple, or maybe a happily married couple, played by Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas. She is involved with other men, and when those other men start to run into what we might call bad luck, suspicion falls on him.
Directed by erotic thriller king Adrian Lyne, Deepwater delves into the specifics of this particular marriage, the intersection of sex and violence, and one man's lonely devotion to his collection of snails. I'm Aisha Harris.
And I'm Linda Holmes, and today we're talking about Hulu's Deepwater on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Smartwool. Smartwool makes merino wool socks and apparel to fuel your adventures outside because they want to see you doing what you love. Whether you're a peak bagger or a trailhead tailgater, Smartwool is here to make sure your good times don't get spoiled by Mother Nature. So get outside and get comfortable out of your comfort zone. See what nature has to offer, even if it's your nature to just kick back. Go far. Feel good.
Joining me and Aisha is Jordan Cruciola, a writer and producer and the host of the podcast Feeling Seen on Maximum Fun. Hi, Jordan.
Hello, hello. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. And filling out our panel is writer and film critic Walter Chow. Hey, Walter.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here, Linda.
I am so excited to get this panel together because critics have been all over the place about this movie. As we mentioned, it's about this couple, Vic and Melinda, played by Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas. And it's based on a book by Patricia Highsmith, who you might know from writing The Talented Mr. Ripley and lots of other novels. The basic outline is that Melinda has lovers outside the marriage, which is not a secret from Vic, although I think whether he's enthusiastic about that or grudgingly accepting of it or somewhere in between is not entirely clear. I think that's where some of the disagreement about the movie comes from. And when bad things start to happen to some of these guys she has been seeing, suspicion falls on Vic, even among their friends. This was directed by Adrian Lyne, who made this series of erotic thrillers in the 80s and 90s, including Fatal Attraction and Indecent Proposal, the very notoriously sexy 9.5 weeks. He hasn't directed a feature since Unfaithful in 2002. You might, the Diane Lane and Richard Gere. That's also a story about the sort of psychic threat that extramarital sex poses to marriages in part. But here he is back. Deepwater is streaming now on Hulu. There is so much to talk about with this movie, I feel like. Jordan, what was your reaction to this movie?
I felt like I was in another dimension watching this movie. I've been so excited for weeks about this. But because the reactions to it have been so either people being like, you know, oh, this is really mean and sexy and it's exactly what I want from Adrian Lyne, and other people being like, this was a waste of my time. I cannot believe I experienced this. Like, I was so bored. But then as soon as we enter in the infidelity and the snails and like my certainty by the end of the movie that their kink was actually just making other people uncomfortable around them in public.
Ooh, interesting.
I was like, these people have absolutely no conception of anybody's discomfort with the crazy, uncomfortable nature of their own marriage, that they're going to say and do anything in front of any potential stranger or acquaintance at any time. And that kind of wild card movie is going to get my heart rate going up. And there is nobody, perhaps at this moment, more convincing than a 5 o'clock shadowed Ben Affleck. And there is nobody possibly sexier in the entire cinematic world at present than Ana de Armas. And this is a perfect button on the lockdown love story that was these two stars that we were all treated to in the most deserted days of our lives, stuck in our homes.
Yeah. I felt like he was just glowering the entire time, like glowering angrily the entire time. This is why I was so extremely thrilled when I saw how Walter had reacted to this movie, which was completely different from the way that I reacted to it. Walter, I want you to talk about your love of this movie.
I love this movie, Linda, so much. I love it so much. It's really hard for me to contain myself, even now, talking about this movie. And I think so much of it is because I really got a sense of kindness from this film, of all things. I felt like the movie was accepting of kink, this idea that, you know, these guys, Ben Affleck especially, is different. He connects more meaningfully with snails. I think he sees a lot of truth in snail behavior. There's that wonderful scene where he just has two snails hanging out on his hands and he's looking at them as though they're the, like the Oracle at Delphi. They're giving him him some insight into behavior. I love that. I love that it would be difficult to find a match for him. And he's found it in this woman who's exactly the opposite of him. By the end of it, not to give too much away, it seems like they have gotten to a place where she sees him in a way that he needs to be seen. And there's something really, really lovely about that. And the ending of this is different than the first two endings of the Patricia Highsmith ending and also the original, or the first, rather, adaptation of this into film. This one really, to me, feels the most mature. It's the statement about long-term relationships and how we have to learn each other and hopefully see each other as we change over the course of a lifetime. So yeah, I adore this film. I think it's a movie for grownups.
I think that is awesome because I feel like, well, I'm going to let Aisha, because I think Aisha and I reacted to this movie the same way when we first saw it. Aisha, why don't you tell us how you received this movie?
I am also very glad that we are having this discussion because I get to hear other people's perspectives because I saw it very differently. I don't think, or maybe I don't understand kink, but I think I do kind of understand how kink is supposed to work. And I feel like you are supposed to derive some pleasure out of it. That is the point. And Ben Affleck does not look happy in this movie ever, really. Like, we don't see any flashbacks to them having happier moments, being sensual. There's no sense that, like, this relationship ever was, like, hot to begin with. And then throughout this entire thing, despite the fact that Ana de Armas and Ben Affleck were a couple or, like, met on the set and then, like, started hooking up or whatever for a little while. Despite that, I don't think there's that much chemistry going on here. That being said, I also thoroughly enjoyed this movie because it's such a weird movie that I don't think knows what it wants to be. Like, is it supposed to be campy or is it supposed to be actually, like, hot and sensual? And it can be both, but, like, I don't think it necessarily hits that balance well. Jordan, I think the point you made about their kink being possibly everyone else around them being uncomfortable.
My God.
I mean, I guess, but at the same time, there's a scene where Lil Rel plays one of the friends slash neighbors. And
fascinating piece of casting in this movie, I think.
Like, in this case, they're not really using him to his full effect, but I'm still just happy he's there. It's like a very, I'm happy to be here kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a scene where he and Ben Affleck and one other character are talking about how everyone knows what's going on.
You gotta rein Melinda in, man. Like, this isn't the first time. The fact she's comfortable, like, flaunting all these relationships around in front of us is f***ed up. Yes, she's a f***ed up person.
And so you get this sense that, like, the whole town is talking in this very, like, Douglas Sirkian way. But, like, at the same time, there's not really any stakes there because they're not, like, shunning them.
No.
They're still invited to all the parties. This movie has, like, at least three parties.
So a lot of parties.
With all the same people. Do they have jobs? I don't know. There's not really any stakes there, which to me is like, okay, so then why are they together? Why is this couple together? And the movie dances around it and tries to imply that Ana de Armas' character says something at one point where she's like, you would be bored if you didn't have me. But I'm like, well, he doesn't seem happy with you now either. So what is going on?
Well, this is the thing that I found fascinating about this and why I was so interested in Walter's take on it when he talked about it being really, like, kind and sort of that it's a generous movie about kink, which I get. I mean, I get the idea of that. But in this movie, I feel like they're miserable. But then you get inside your own head and you're like, but maybe their kink is being miserable, or at least maybe their kink is seeming miserable to other people. And also, I thought, maybe I don't know the difference between Ben Affleck glowering angrily and Ben Affleck glowering, like, hotly, like, hornily.
The amount of him, like, blithely smirking in a way that feels like passive participation is fascinating in this movie.
Yeah, exactly. Walter, explain to me, what do you think is the shape of this marriage? That's kind of the thing that I am curious about.
Well, you know, I think what's fascinating about the construction of this film is that it speaks to a companionate love, this idea that, you know, there's a scene where Ben Affleck's character is applying lotion to the legs of a naked Ana de Armas. And in reality, he's just sort of moisturizing her legs. It's like he's moisturizing his snails. And I've been married for 25 years, and it's a great partnership. But we're certainly not at the same place in terms of passion and the ways that we express that passion to each other. In the early days, you know, the invitation to apply lotion to legs is this is going to lead to a baby. But now, you know, after this wonderful time that we've had together, if she's asking me to put lotion on her legs, she's dry. She's a little parched. And she'd like me to put some lotion on her legs. It changes. And I think inevitably it must change that we go from this sort of passionate love, this lustful love, to a more companionate love where we're nurturing and caring for each other in a different way. And, you know, that doesn't mean that there's not moments of passion. And I think the film is clear about that, too. It's like they still are into each other and they're good at it. They're good together. But it's much less of the spontaneous house on fire kind of thing where there's a maturity to recognizing that relationships do evolve over time. And that doesn't necessarily mean that there's less passion. It just means that there's less focus on certain things.
Well, I think it's the difference, too, between seeing Melinda's sexual passions versus who she permits to share intimacy with her. And that process of her, like, what dress should I wear? And he picks out the dress. Okay, well, what shoes? And then he picks out the shoes and he puts the shoes on. And then, like, there is the lotion scene, which doesn't feel like an erotic moment so much as it feels like part of their ritual as a very specific couple. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to be an Ana de Armas walking through the world, seeing the heads turn and knowing that you're going to probably make any new quote-unquote friend you want among whatever passerby or old acquaintance you connect with on Facebook. Sorry, Melinda's not on Facebook. That was the weirdest part of this entire movie. We reconnected on Facebook. No, you're not, Melinda. But the idea of the person who sees the eccentricities, the person who sees the sort of terror in you, the insecurity in you, she's all swagger and power and playing the piano, sitting in a little gargoyle pose when she's in front of anybody else. But then when she's talking to him, it's like, I wish you didn't think you were so much smarter than me. Well, maybe you would respect me if I was this kind of intelligent. And you see the insecurities coming through from her in a way that Jacob Elordi's character, Finn Wittrock's character, they would never see that coming from her.
I think those are all great points. And I like to clarify that I do think that both of them are doing really interesting things. I don't think they mesh together quite well. Like, there's one scene where they're driving home from one of the parties and she puts her leg up on the dashboard and then, like, takes out an apple, bites it, and then, like, starts feeding it to him. And I was like, oh, this is kind of hot. Like, I feel like the feet on the dashboard thing is one of those sort of signals in movies or whatever. And it's like, this is a woman who does whatever she wants. She's wild. And I loved it. It felt like she was channeling all of the, like, pre-code women of that era where they just, like, did whatever they wanted. And although usually it ended horribly for them, but in this case it doesn't.
Right.
Which I think is a really interesting aspect of this. And again, I really just appreciate how, at least the elements that feel campy to me. I think, like, something like Unfaithful or Fatal Attraction, those films, obviously, they have some elements of camp to them. But I also think they are a little bit more, I don't know, clear in terms of, like, what the relationship was and, like, what the appeal is, than clearer than this is.
I think they're also a little more tonally consistent.
Yeah.
They're way more tonally consistent. Like, this movie ends, the credit sequence or, like, the posts.
Oh my God.
With their like 5 or 6 year old daughter sitting in the back seat singing to You Make Me Feel Like Dancing.
You make me feel like dancing. I wanna dance the night away. You make me feel like dancing.
Incredible.
So it's such a tonally weird shift. I was like, we just had this moment of, like, death and acceptance, and then you have this, like, cutesy moment in the car, and I'm like, what is this?
And also you have the very, very great Tracy Letts in this performance as kind of one of their friends and neighbors who's a, you know, kind of a Budinsky and is, like, sort of very curious about what's going on with him and is suspicious of him.
He's great in this.
That part of the story has this climactic action sequence.
Oh my God.
Bike versus car.
It is this Fast and the Furious level.
I wasn't even thinking that. I'm thinking of Tracy Letts running up a sand hill, just, like, scrambling up a sand hill.
It's both, but you wind up with this bike car sequence where you see what's going to happen and you see how Tracy Letts is really, like, that is a scenery chew it all through that thing, a comedic, campy scenery chew from this extremely accomplished actor.
I was right. Kelly, you are not going to believe this. This is it. This is a book.
Damn autocorrect.
That Tracy Letts scene, which comes not that far from the end, then leads into that final scene that you guys have been talking about between this couple. And it's like, well, I feel like I was just watching the Dukes of Hazzard, and now, you know, now I'm in this sexy erotic thriller. I think there are some issues sewing the pieces together, but I completely get what you're saying. I think it's a way more interesting movie to talk about than I thought it was when I first watched it. And I was like, well-made garbage is sort of how I received it when I first watched it.
This movie is high-class trash, and we need more high-class trash. And I love a movie that is a tonal cacophony, because that's not typically the goal of a movie. You want to have something seamless and smooth, and it all makes sense. So every once in a while, when you get a little gift like this, where one scene can have Tracy Letts and Lil Rel in it at the same time, where they're talking about the ethics of creating components for drone warfare in the middle of an erotic thriller, where we have already met a bunch of snails as pets, and we are going to have little bits of this information dropped in our lap throughout the movie that we're going to get no explanation or background for, but we're just going to keep proceeding apace, and we're going to be on a bunch of plantation homes, and there's going to be more than three live musical acts.
Including Lady is a Tramp.
Tiny like, bit on the nose, perfect. Maybe.
We've got Jacob Elordi on the jazz keys. Like, this, like, why not? Absolutely. Like, these movies are treasures, and, like, who is Tracy Letts' character? He's the new guy. He doesn't even know who Ben is, and he's like, so you killed anybody? It's like, you just arrived. Unbelievable. Give me the most. Do the most.
I love that. I love this idea of atonality, yes, and chaos. I love that. You know, I think if you want like a tone, that's Batman for 3 hours, the Batman. That's a movie that's very thematically on point. This is a movie, to your all of your points, is all over the freaking place. And it's so
feast.
Great. It's a buffet where there's variety. But as a metaphor for, you know, the challenges of a long-term relationship and the ways that we learn each other throughout the course of our lives together, that's actually pretty cool. And I don't know that a young Adrian Lyne making Flashdance or Foxes could have made a movie like this where it's just so accepting of Alex from Fatal Attraction.
It's definitely less moralistic than I think Fatal Attraction in particular is, which is sort of notoriously, you know, about...
This doesn't make Anna a bunny boiler. It's not about that.
Well, and it's also, it doesn't have the same kind of weird gender politics of predatory career women coming to take your husband and all that stuff that has been so...
Some book publisher showing up to steal your man.
Well, exactly. And the thing that is amazing as we talk about this to me is I think it does have this really like interesting series of tonal shifts, despite the fact that I think Ben Affleck makes one face in this movie.
One.
And yet you're moving from, you know, thriller to murder movie to campy to, you know, nature documentary about a man's love of snails. And he does it all with one face.
So Ben Affleck in this case is like the plate of food.
Yeah.
You know, you put him in the middle of all this crazy sexual madness and then snails. You know, it's exactly the same, but he adds contrast and context to all those different things. I don't think it's a bad performance. I think it's a Batman performance. You know, I think it's really interesting.
I'm really loving what he's doing. It's so idiosyncratic.
Well, I mean it from the bottom of my heart when I say this is a 25 times more interesting conversation about this movie than I anticipated I was ever going to have about it when I watched it,
yes,
which is my entire reason for doing this job. I mean that unironically, uncampily mean that from the bottom of my heart. We want to know what you think about Deepwater. It is streaming on Hulu now. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Thank you, Aisha Harris, Jordan Cruciola, and Walter Chow for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Snails.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, all you snails out there. And if you have a second and you're so inclined, sign up for our newsletter. It's at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. This episode was produced by Candace Lim and Ramel Wood and edited by Jessica Reedy. And Hello Come In provides the music you may be bobbing your head to right now. I'm Linda Holmes, and we will see you all tomorrow when we will be making some predictions for dun, 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 the Oscars.